This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You know you want to.
joy.org.au.
What a great promo for Weekend Breakfast. Paul. No, I have, but what a great promo. Fantastic.
What is your guilty secret? Maybe we'll
What's your guilty pleasure? Before we speak to...
Enough of me. You must go on with our next guest.
No, before we... really.
My guilty pleasure is trashy music, Macca. There you go.
Just that. Okay. Luke Dennehy from Tennis Australia and well...
And tennis, obviously.
And tennis and well known to our community. How are you, Luke?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Now, I've got to ask you, are you a real tennis fan like Nevena? You know Nevena's a complete tragic.
Oh, I'm an absolute nut, Luke.
Oh, I love it. I'll send you some ground passes if you like. So it's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's good to know. I actually am, Macca. I first came to the Australian Open when I was 10 years old. I grew up in the Yarra Valley and I just loved the sport. Yeah, and I used to come every year, and I actually was a scoreboard operator in 1995 when Mary Pierce won. I was 15 years old and back then.
I
loved her too. So she was so glamorous. And I didn't know I was gay then, but who would have thought, you know? Because us gays, we love women's tennis for some reason. We do. So I loved, when I was 13, Steffi Graf and Monica Seles. And that era, it was so dramatic, wasn't it? And they were amazing players. So I became a scoreboard operator for a couple of years. And then I worked in the media centre. And I've kind of been connected in some way ever since. So I do. I'm actually a real tennis fan. So, yeah.
I love that story, and I love your connection to some of the greats of the game. Love Monica, Steffi. We could talk about that forever. But we are talking about this year's Australian Open, and in particular, some of the incredible themed days that we have, like the Pride Round, which brings to the international stage not only a firm commitment about Pride in the sport, but giving a platform for members of our community to say homophobia is well and truly a thing of the past. This game is opening, this game is welcome, and here we are at the Glam Slam to prove it. It's such an incredible feat.
Yeah, we're really happy with that. And I've been here for 7 years, and when I started there wasn't any sort of Pride activation. And Macca, were you there the other night at the event?
Look, I wasn't able to get there, but I recall, and I'm just trying to remember the name of the guy that when it's quite a while ago, obviously, when we were at Bourke Street, and I remember when Glam Slam started. Rowan, was it?
Rowan.
Yeah, so... You know, it's an incredible initiative, but it's grown and it's grown and it's grown. And I've got to tell you, Steve Demopoulos, Demo, he was beside himself with, you know, he gets to talk at lots of things. But to actually, you know, the Pride event last Friday, you know, he was really so excited to be doing it. So it's great to have that support, but also... Let's recognise the Australian Open is doing this. This is, you know, and this doesn't happen around the world at every tennis tournament, does it?
Yeah, I thank you for that, because it's not tokenistic. I think sometimes these things can, and you guys would understand that. And the way it sort of started, there was we didn't really have that much support with the organisation because it was all kind of new. And then every year, and I think it's because of Craig Tiley, came to that event. I think we had Jason Collins, the first out NBA player, do it. Mm. And then from then he said, we've got to do more of Pride and the Glam Slam. And now I think there's 200 players coming from 36 countries, I think. They arrived. They're probably in town now for the Glam Slam, which kicks off on Thursday, which is also our Pride Day. So it's just, for me, I'm really proud to, you know, it's one of the best things I've ever done in my career to see how it's grown. And last year we had Billie Jean King, who was there, who didn't have to come along, but she came on and presented the trophy and, you know, fist in the air and revved up the crowd. So to see it grow and grow has been amazing.
We were speaking to Lord Mayor Sally Capp earlier today, and she was saying that there's been more people from overseas attending the AO than ever. Has this surprised you? Has this been a push that has happened? What's the story there?
Yeah, I think I think a couple of things. I think for me, the feeling this year is the very first year since COVID that it feels exactly like it was before COVID. So we had a real tough couple of years. I think 21, it was shut down like the rest of the state when we had that lockdown. Mm. Remember, it was 5 day snap lockdown in January. Yes. And then, of course, it feels like a whole nother lifetime ago. But then on the next year, we had, of course, the Novak Djokovic thing, which sort of overshadowed the tournament. And there were still restrictions on crowds. And then last year was nearly there, but I think there was still a bit of a hangover. People didn't want to buy tickets, especially overseas and interstate visitors, in case something would happen. But I think that's the main reason. I think ticketing buying habits have gone back to normal, and a lot more interstate visitors as well. There's still sort of some markets, like the Chinese market, I think is not back where it was. I don't know if they're travelling as much yet, but it really is getting there. So it's great to see. It's great for Melbourne.
And again, you know, Luke, it's really important for people to understand there aren't that many Grand Slams in the world.
Yep.
And there are, and Glam Slams, you know, this is benchmark. You know, that Melbourne, you know, is a progressive state, and that the way that we do this tennis in Melbourne is really impressive. And, you know, I say here, I'm not a huge tennis fan, but Nevena, like, let me tell you, you know, oh, my God.
I was up all night watching the Medvedev match. Yeah. Of every five setter that's been played. I was at the Kyrgios game that could only go to midnight. Of course, he tanked. It could only go to midnight, and that was during one of the lockdowns. I've been going since I was a kid, so it's really part of my experience in the city. And we've just had a text from one of our listeners saying, Australian Open's atmosphere is incredible and we all feel safe. May this pride round inspire the AFL to take some action with their own code, which is very overdue. Mm. What are your thoughts on that, Luke?
Well, it's really interesting you say that, because Ian Roberts, one of his things that he said, he spoke at the event last year, 30 years since he came out, and, you know, why haven't – the women have led the way, haven't they, in our space? And you look at the Matildas, it's like unbelievably embraced. And, you know, I don't think there was much trolling and stuff. But sadly, I think, of course, I would be, it's amazing. I think they would be incredibly supportive. But when you look at Josh Cavallo, the soccer player, and he did a post a couple of months ago saying how the hatred he still gets, it's like, it's, I don't understand. Like, well, men get that. So there's, I can see why a player might be reluctant. Mm. But at the same time, Ian Roberts said, like, he wishes he came out earlier. And if you're really confident in yourself, like, go for it. But I think, especially for a guy, for some reason, it does, I don't know, in that space, they tend to get trolled more or hate. And I think it's, we've got a bit of a way to go yet, I think. But, you know, I think in the circuit itself, everyone would be embraced. And I know in football, you know, they, a lot of those guys are fantastic. So let's hope it comes soon.
Now, you know, you've got a hard decision to make tomorrow, Luke.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
Is it Carnival Day, or is it Australian?
Yeah.
Well, what was the other? Okay, what was the other hard decision? I'm more interested in that. There were pangs of guilt there.
I think I thought you were going to talk about tennis. I mean, who's going to be on a night? And that's out of my hand. It's either Djokovic or Dimonov. So that's what I thought you were talking about. So I think both. I think the Channel 9 will be wanting either of those a high rating. But yes, I actually thought of that today, because I can't really go and have a good time like I did back in the day, so I don't know if I'll get there.
Well, perhaps spend a little bit of time at Carnival, either right at the start. Don't do it right at the end of Carnival, because that does get very messy. But it's not that far from there, you know, to the tennis centre. You know, you might even be able to swim across the Yarra.
Yes, that's it.
Please don't swim across the Yarra. We don't want to be
responsible. It'd be great to see some tennis players. And can I make a suggestion for next year for Carnival Day?
Yes.
I reckon the Australian Open needs a little stand there.
Oh, you know, we did last year. So I'm not sure. Yeah, we did. And I'm not sure. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of presence tomorrow. But I agree, we need to sort of make it bigger and better, I think.
Mm.
So, Luke, week one is almost coming to an end. Week two is when things really start sharpening up. What can punters expect when they go down and have a look at some of those matches?
Yeah, I think, like the Glam Slam, like what we highlight in the second week is we have some great outside court tournaments as well. Like, there's one for the deaf, hard of hearing players, which they're really talented, like from around the world. So you've got that. You've got the wheelchair tennis, which is really good as well. And then you've got a final festival, which is a music Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So there's lots to do.
And another matter that's been colouring this Australian Open, for better or for worse, we have a player that's currently facing allegations of domestic violence and abuse. And I know that there is a legal matter afoot, so I don't want to comment on that. But there's been some questions from the Australian Press Gallery to some male tennis players, and they've responded in a particular way, which has mostly been a no comment or they're not informed. But on the other hand, we have a lot of female tennis players who seem to be very attuned to this situation and have expressed their support and sympathy with the victim survivor. Do you think that that is really, I don't know, what is the, what's the tensions there that we're dealing with, and how is that best handled?
It's a really interesting question. You're talking about Zverev, the German star. And look, I know the ATP, I'm not sure if they've done a review or they're doing a review in that. It's a hard one to answer, but you know, I think the press, you know, they have the right to ask that question, don't they? So, but I think it's in May. They'll hear more about that.
It's actually back, or you know, it part of the process that it you know that matter is going through is reaches a point in May. So, I want to ask you, Luke, the outside DJ. And or the party court six, what's it like? You've been down there to have a
I love it.
Been down and there to have a bit of a sip.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Just for your listeners, so court six, it's the first time we've done a two story sort of bar, and it's a beautiful fit out, and it's really close to the court. I think now, I mean, there were some single matches there. I think only one of the players has complained publicly, because some of the players, you know, like a Nick Kyrgios.
He'd
love it. So, I think it's been really well received. I thought there'd actually be more noise about that. I think some players really love it, and I think we've got to. And also, I mean, a lot of the players have been complaining about the. I think you can walk in, not the change of ends anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, you know, tennis traditionalists probably don't like that, but I think we've got to move with the times a bit, and, you know, the players have to just get used to it. I mean, a lot of these, you know, lower-ranked players play on, you know, courts in front of freeways, you know, in random countries in, you know, the Middle East or somewhere. So, you know, I just think, you know, they're getting a lot of money, 140 grand or what it is, first round losers. So, you know, come on, guys.
And I think, and I think also, Luke, you know, people... you know, pay a lot for tickets to the Australian Open. And to say to them, oh, well, yeah, actually, yeah, you've got a ticket, you're there for 24 hours, you know, 8 hours, whatever. But if you go to the loo, you might have to wait half an hour. No.
Yeah, it's exactly.
And when any change like this is made, it takes time. But again, you don't want play disrupted. But, you know... Yeah. The reason the players are there is because people buy tickets and tickets pay prize money, you know, as do sponsors.
And I think, you know, you don't want the US Open, I've been a couple of times, and it's very much like this. It's, you know, and people, the players are used to it. I think it's just, as you said, it takes time to get used to that, but I'm sure they will.
Well, Luke, it's always really funny to me, the other disruptions that could happen. We had the other night a seagull disrupting one of the Tsitsipas games. We've had crickets. There was an event a few years ago when a feather unraveled Andy Murray. So I think it just, we have to do move with the times. We do have these incredible athletes, and I think in a couple of years they'll be able to deal with the fact there are people in the stadium moving.
That's right, and you might even remember, if you love your tennis like you do, 1997 when the court flooded.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, they were playing.
And yet we play on. Luke, thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Magazine. It's been great having you and spruiking all things our incredible Australian Open. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to celebrating at the end of it.
Cheers.
Fantastic. Thank you. Bye, guys.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Nevena. Stay with us. There's more than there's news. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, really, Macca? Is that what you're doing with your time?
Oh, there's always joy. I want to thank Nevena for being my co-host this morning, Paul for panelling. Paul for news, James on the front desk. Quick rundown of who we had.
We were very, very happy to have Sally Capp, our favourite Lord Mayor, with us. We also then spoke with Kate Douglas, who's a research assistant on the Rainbow Knowledge Project. And that was a really interesting conversation. So head to Rainbow Knowledge Project to find out more about what they're doing to recontextualise the health system. We then had Laura Hartley-Quinn speaking about the latest AI-created scams. The takeaway message there, if someone's texting you, verify it. Just give them a quick call. If you're seeing a link in an email and being asked to click it, don't click it. Yeah. Authenticate, because it saves you a lot of time and stress in the long run. We then spoke about the sacking of former ABC journalist Antoinette Latouf with Danny Said from media reporting at Crikey. We were joined in the studio by four new friends of the Latinos Are Project at the Pride Centre, and we invite you to come see these incredible portraits in our beautiful Pride Centre building.
And scan the QR code.
Stand the QR
because, you know, there's a whole lot more. There's video and other information. Beautiful pictures, really beautiful images. And, you know, I admire photographers that can capture that moment in time, you know. I don't photograph well, so. But
well, maybe.
Could be something to do with, you know.
And then we spoke with Ave Pulieri from the Greens about pill testing, climate change and housing. Lastly, we had Luke Dennehy from Tennis Australia speaking at our beloved Australian Open. What a show, Macca.
Fantastic. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your membership. If you are a member, if you're not, you bloody well should be.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.